Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Abby.
And I'm the other host, Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
You want to know why that sounded so good?
Because we're together.
Yes, we are.
Bree and I are face-to-face.
Butt-to-butt.
Butt-to-butt at a very tiny table.
It's a very tiny
table. In a very quaint room.
Yeah, with some lamps on and air conditioning.
Air conditioning. No longer will you have to hear us bitch and moan about how hot we are.
How hot Michigan
is. Oh, we have to close the windows.
Sorry about the motorcycles.
Yeah, no more motorcycles.
No more sweaty balls.
Oh, I was like, what happened with sweaty balls? Yeah, it's just all that is good. So we're really happy to be back. And also, it's the beginning of season 10.
Yeah, so we're starting out with a bang.
Yeah, so if this is your first time listening and you want more than just one episode a week, you can go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or attending. Also, you're supporting us. We're going to have a bonus episode this month that you'll hear that talks about basically how this podcast is made and
how we run it and why we do it the way we do it.
Yep.
A little behind the scenes.
Yes, if you may.
Yeah.
So you'll learn more about like where your Patreon money is going in that. But most of all, we're just thankful for you. You get bonus episodes once a month. You can get access to our private Facebook group. You can co-host the podcast, which we are back in action for that. Today, we have a wonderful co-host scrubbing in, you'll hear. All these great things and more can be found at patreon.com/theoncallroom.
Another great way to support the podcast, follow us on @theoncallroompod on Instagram. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Cool. there you can connect with us. You can like our photos and you can follow our stories.
Yeah.
What Instagram is all about.
If you aren't a patron and you want to connect with us, and since you can't get in the Facebook group, that's like the most general way. We love reposting things if you show us where you're listening.
Yeah.
And if you send us memes or other Grey's news, we really appreciate it and love it. So
yeah.
You can also leave us a message on our website at www.theoncallroompod.com. And most importantly, the best way to help us out is by leaving a review wherever you listen, whether that be Apple or Spotify. 5 scalpels, please. That's how people decide whether or not they're going to hit play. And we really appreciate all the reviews that come in.
Yeah. Other than that, I just want to say that I'm really happy that we can record across from each other again.
Cheers. We are drinking hard seltzer.
And I almost poured it on your computer. Thank God I didn't. I feel like we're not really going to, you know, okay, let's just say this. Before we get into the episode, we're in season 10. This is the beginning of the end.
Yes.
Christina leaves this season. So we're going to spend a lot of time probably focusing on her as a character and her storyline and kind of picking that apart. So,
and as you listen, if certain episodes really stand out to you and you have things to say specifically about Christina, please, if you are a patron, leave us a voicemail.
Yes.
We want those recordings. If you're not a patron, send us an email via the contact form on our website with your thoughts. We are going to put together a massive send-off episode for Christina. And so we really would love your input on that.
Yes. If you are a patron on the Patreon page, on I think it's the left-hand side, are pinned posts.
Yes.
And the Google voice number is pinned there that you can call and leave a voicemail and you will hear your voice on the podcast.
Yeah, we'd love that. And so just know that too, like the Christina episode isn't just going to be like about the finale. Like we want to encompass everything about her. So if something comes up for you.
Or if there was something previously about her that you really loved.
Yeah, please include it. We'd love to hear. We also have post-op today, which will be taking place after we have our guest on. And today's post-op is basically about like, it's like the notes and trivia of season 10 as a whole.
Ooh,
and some things about—
You know how much we love notes and trivia.
It's the best part. And some things about Sandra Oh that I learned and just about the season, like in general, what we can look forward to and things like that. So stay tuned after the call of Time of Death if you are a patron and you are listening on Patreon for that.
Perfect.
And if you're like, what the fuck is post-op? Go to patreon.com and become a $10 listener and you get an extra 10 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah, or listen to last season. If you don't know what post-op is, we've talked about it a lot. So hit play on the previous episode.
Bree and I are really happy to be together. We're happy to be in season 10. I can't believe we're here. We're over halfway.
Yeah.
And we love you and we hope you're all staying really safe. We hope you are continuing to wear a fucking mask.
Yeah.
We hope you are fighting for the justice in the world.
Yes.
And we just really love you.
And we also hope you're taking care of yourself and resting so you can continue to do the hard work that all of you are doing.
Yes.
And without further ado,
let's get into
season 10.
Here we go. All right, everyone. We are back and lucky for us today, scrubbing in from somewhere very far away in a completely different time zone, we have Tash. So hi, Tash.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
We are, first of all, hi. Thanks for being a patron. Also, this is our first guest in like an entire season.
Yeah, so we're a little nervous.
We also have been in our homes for 3 months, so we're socially awkward.
Yeah, we're really sorry about it.
That's okay. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. So we always start by asking our guests kind of just like, who are you and what do you spend your time doing? Where are you? What do you do? Whatever you want to share in that question.
Okay. My name's Tash. I live in Australia on the Gold Coast. I'm originally from Scotland. So I moved to Australia when I was 15. So I've been here for about 10 years.
Nice.
And I'm a lawyer. Although I told my boss today that I was on a Skype call with my family in America.
We are your family in America.
Yeah. That's incredible. If anybody asks, you're my cousins.
I would love to be your honorary cousin.
Yes, I love it.
So if anybody knows my boss, don't say anything.
We won't. Also, if we ever need a lawyer, I guess being in a different country means it won't work, but we would love to call on you.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So when did you first start watching Grey's?
I started watching Grey's, I think, when it came out. So I guess that was 2005 or six in the UK.
Yep.
And I watched it when I was way too young. I used to sit on my knees in front of the TV after my bedtime and watch it. And I was very obsessed. I was as obsessed as you could be. I was on the forums. I was really obsessed. And I've pretty much been watching it since then. Although I've kind of given up in the recent seasons, to be honest. That's a confession.
That's great.
But no, I will eventually catch up.
I have a question. Do the current seasons, are you able to have access to them yet? Or how does that work?
No. So they do air on Australian TV, but I think it's pretty late. So that's probably why as well I've stopped watching. And eventually go on Netflix or Stan.
Perfect. I feel like I'm in agreement with you. It's hard. I'm going to stick it in because I think the end will be worth
it. Stick it in.
Yeah. I'm going to, as soon as they announce the end, I'm going to catch up.
Smart.
And I'll be there for the end. Like I'm going to go down with the ship, but I just haven't set up yet.
Can I ask you where you stopped watching? Like what is happening in Grey's? Do you even remember?
I watch YouTube videos of the important moments.
Okay.
So I saw April in Arizona leave. I know what happens to Meredith. I know what happens to Alex.
Okay.
But I just haven't watched the videos, the episodes full.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't worry about spoilers because I know all the spoilers.
Okay,
perfect. We've probably spoiled them all for you if you were listening anyways.
Exactly. That's fine.
So who is your favorite character?
I gotta say Christina. I mean, I think she's probably one of the best characters of all time, really.
I agree.
Yeah, from start to finish, the way her arc ended. I mean, it's just wonderful. But I also love Arizona. well, this is a bit of a tough episode for Arizona, but pre-leg cutoff. I love that.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I used to be really obsessed with Christina. I had on the forums that I was talking about when I was 12, my username was Bang Lover, which is, I know, which is Burke and Yang together.
Oh, okay.
Bang Lover. That's incredible. You should continue to use that as a screen name.
I should. I should change it. Yeah.
Should that be really... like your law email?
Yeah, I should make that my new email. Yeah. So Bang Lover was my name, and I had my computer background was Burke and Christina, my phone background.
You only got to enjoy that for like not long. Like Burke's barely on the show in relationship to like Owen.
Yeah. And on rewatch, I don't feel the same way. I just want to say about Burke and Christina. Mm. But when I was 12 or 13, I did.
I get it. Cause I felt very similar. Cause I started watching this when I was pretty young too. I felt the same way about Burke and Christina. The scene where she has a miscarriage and he crawls into bed with her is like,
yes, exactly.
I have like GGBs thinking about Small Bree, like wanting to be held like that by a man. So okay. Yeah.
And I think in retrospect, I just loved Christina, you know, so she just has such chemistry with everyone that I just love her. But they had some good moments, Burke and Christina.
Yeah. So I guess for the next question, it's this, they wouldn't be the answer. Maybe, I don't know, but who's your favorite couple or duo?
Oh, it's got to be Kyler in Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Although they had a hard time in the end. They're my favorite for sure.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Yeah, I know this is like a interesting episode to talk about for you then, if that's your favorite couple.
Yeah.
What about an unpopular opinion about Grey's?
Well, I guess that I haven't caught up to the latest seasons.
Yeah.
I think it probably should have ended by now. I feel like we can say that as fans, that it should have ended. It just isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, it definitely isn't.
I don't know how long it's going to go on for, but I would say it probably, I wish it had ended already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like, there are moments where I still, like when a premiere finale comes on, I get excited. I'm like, ooh, I still get to see my favorite people. Like, this is fun. And then when there's like duds of episodes or storylines or our favorite characters get written off really poorly, I tend to be like, why is this still happening?
Yeah. Particularly when Derek died, I thought that. There was such a core of the show that removing him really felt, it was a tough one to take, I think, when Derek died.
Yeah, that was... I was sad.
Yeah, I do think like a core, he was a core character. I mean, he was. I don't want to say he's the heart of the show because I think Meredith is the heart of the show, but like in connection to her, then.
Yeah, like I think they spun it well, where it's like Meredith is now this like strong person who doesn't need someone, like because her and Derek were so. I don't mean codependent in a bad way. I mean it in like a positive way. Like they were so there for each other. So it gave us a chance to see her as that. But I don't know. It all changed once that happened. So, well, perfect. Those are great answers.
One more question. How did you find the podcast?
Oh yeah. The best question.
Oh, I think I just, searched on Apple Podcasts, Grey's Anatomy.
Nice.
Oh, great.
Cause I think I just finished listening to Binge Mode. I
know you asked that,
Abby. Yeah, and I was looking for something for Grey's Anatomy, and you guys popped up.
Did you listen to Binge Mode Harry Potter or like Game or all of the bit like Game of Thrones?
I listened
all
to Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Okay, perfect. Oh, yeah. So good. I wish I could be as good at podcasting as Mal and Jason are. I think we're our own version. They're so good. Yeah, they definitely do more. They have a team.
Yeah, it's just you and me.
Yeah, they do have a team. So you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
Just seeking validation, please. Okay, so I think we're gonna get into the episodes.
Yep.
So this is season 10, episode 1 and 2. Welcome to season 10, everyone.
Yeah, and it was a 2-part. Like it was a 2-hour premiere.
Right. So it's Seal Our Fate and I Want You With Me. We're going to read short summaries and then monologues. Seal Our Fate. Seal Our Fate. The Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital doctors are faced with the devastation left by the storm. A giant mudslide in Seattle injures a group of first responders and citizens, causing the already shorthanded ER to
Spring.
Oh, spring into action. Meanwhile, Meredith is faced with a tough decision that will affect the life of a loved one. Callie is rocked by the reality of Arizona's infidelity, and Richard's life is in extreme danger.
And then for I Want You With Me, the fight continues to save those affected by the storm. Callie makes a bold decision regarding her relationship, and the doctors come together upon receiving devastating news.
Do you want to read the first monologue?
Sure. Both of these are read by Richard Weber. Just want to point that out. So for the first one, when you become an intern, there's a ceremony where you get your white coat. Like magic, you're a doctor. My parents came to my white coat ceremony. I can still picture them. So happy, so proud. They say your life flashes before your eyes right before you die. The important moments, the moments that tested you, the moments that made you who you are. I don't know about my life flashing before me. I was thinking about my white coat and how I'm glad I have it on me right now. It's the moment my life started. Seems fitting it should be on me when it ends. A doctor puts on his white coat to save lives, defy death. But once he takes it off, he's vulnerable, just like anybody else. Human. We're all gonna die. We don't get much say over how or when, but we do decide how we're gonna live. So do it. Decide. Is this the life you want to live? Is this the person you want to love? Is this the best you can be? Can you be stronger, kinder, more compassionate? Decide. Breathe in, breathe out, and decide.
Nice job.
Thank you.
And then I Want You With Me. The waiting can kill you. You make a decision and then the world has to turn. The consequences unfold out of your hands. There's only one thing that seems clear in those quiet moments while you wait. Whatever you choose was wrong. We just want to survive the storm. We pray, please God, just get me to the other side. We never imagine what it will be like when we get there. What if, when the storm passes, nothing's left? I always said I could handle anything. I was wrong. I was wrong about a lot of things, but I was right about one thing. I was right about this.
Boom.
That made me very emotional at the end of the episode, and we'll get there.
Okay, shotgun workup. We have Richard Weber, electrocution, heart failure, cardiogenic shock, necrotic tissue, Lenny Schulte, mud aspiration. That was intense. Decreased breath sounds, tachypnea, diaphragmatic rupture. Lydia Ashford, injuries to upper body, subarachnoid hemorrhage, crushed fingers, desadding, broken rib, lung laceration. Sasha, broken leg, neck laceration, necrotizing fasciitis, organ failure. God, these are all terrible. Oscar Hallis, concussion, laceration on leg, penicillin allergy. Aaron Garcia, open book, pelvic fracture, liver laceration with hemorrhage. Heather Brooks, massive head trauma, electrocution, subdural bleed, brain swelling. And Brian, broken ribs.
All right, and then finally for rounds, we have Richard found electrocuted, Bailey and Christina disagree on treatment, and Mare is his medical power of attorney, and then Catherine Fox showing up. Then we have Ross sending Brooks to look for Richard, and the interns coming together after Brooks' death. Callie in Arizona and the aftermath of Arizona cheating, Callie staying with Mare and Dare. Then we have Joe and Krav trying to have sex, a little fun side storyline there. Then the Avery, April, Stephanie, Matthew love thing going on. Then we have the mudslide, Lenny and the crown molding lady. I feel like we should talk about that. And then Christina and Owen are still sleeping together, but maybe it has to stop.
Woof.
Yeah.
You still with us? You still with us?
Yeah.
I am. It's a lot.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. So first notes. We'll let you go first.
What is your first note?
I said, I can't believe Richard is still cooking. Right now, the current seasons, because I just feel like he's been retiring for 10 years.
Yeah, and getting electrocuted and having hips.
Yeah, I forgot this was that episode, and he was just lying on the floor twitching, and smoking. I was like, oh, right, yes.
He's legitimately toasted.
Yeah, I said, Richard is steaming, literally, or smoking, and we are paging him.
Yeah, I had a, like, filming question, because... So in the finale, like, you see him in that same position, and all these things happen, and do they... There was no time gap between the finale and the premiere, which like, sometimes there is. Part of me is like, should they just film the premiere right after they film the finale so they all look the same? They clearly didn't.
Yeah.
It's like Murphy had kind of a little bit lighter hair. Derek looked different. And like, but I was like, did Richard have to get all makeuped up again to be smoking and like laying on the ground? Like, I just feel like they should have just filmed those scenes again.
Yeah.
I also said my other note is this is the longest night ever.
Seriously.
So just it's like it goes on forever.
It's four episodes.
Four episodes.
Yeah, they must be so tired.
Yeah.
So many things happen.
Truly. My first note, my actual first note was, oh, I thought he said black magic. He said, like magic, you're a doctor.
Black magic, you're a doctor.
I was like, that's funny. Because I was like, ooh, they're talking about magic again. But that was
it
not.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. What was your first note?
Mine just says, well, it's still raining at Grace Sloan.
Still is.
Okay. What do we, should we do the big topics out of the way first? Like, let's talk about Richard
sure.
in the storm, maybe. Okay, so it's still raining at Grace Sloan. Also, then because of the rain and the storm, there's a mudslide. So right. we've got like many natural events happening.
Lots of disasters.
Lots of disasters.
Inside and outside of the hospital.
Right, in all places. I don't know, how do we want to start this with?
Okay, well, I guess we'll just start that like Weber is smoking and they're paging him and no one can find him. So Bailey sends Ross to go find Dr. Weber.
Right. And meanwhile, Derek needs Brooks to perform something on like a brain tumor patient. And he really wants Brooks because there's that current like thing between Brooks and Shane and whatever. So Derek tells him to go find Brooks. We get this moment where I forgot this happened. Ross and Brooks run into each other. And instead of Ross telling her that she was needed by Derek, he tells her that she needs to go find Bailey.
Yeah.
Or to go find Richard. And so he told her that the last place that he was seen was down by the generators. And Brooks, because honestly, she's a very nice person, is just like, okay, like doesn't ask questions and just goes. And you just are like, frick, Shane probably wishes he didn't do that.
Yeah. These are my three notes about it. And then I would like to hear what other people have to say. Oh, sweet Jesus. Here goes Brooks heading into the danger zone. Don't touch him. And now she is dead.
Yeah, I wrote Weber had to watch it all go down.
Yeah.
Like he had to like his eyes like flickered open. Mm-hmm. He's probably like, no.
Yeah, don't do it.
And it was horrible to see the way she was electrocuted, the way she just stood still and grabbed her hands together before she fell. Ugh.
Yeah. That was like me the other day in my house.
Except you're alive.
When I electrocuted myself. Yeah, when I electrocuted myself. But, right, I'm alive. I think she's not alive because she hit her head.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. And because she was, like, standing in water.
Yeah.
Like, her shock was perhaps larger than yours.
Yeah, clearly.
Also, I want to note, Grey's Anatomy pulling out the big stops. They had, like, an electricity special effect for when it... Because she fell, hit her head, and then it went to the title scene, and it was like... Zzz, 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 and I was like, oh, that's interesting choice.
That's new.
That's definitely new. So I was kind of surprised when Ross goes down, he, like, realizes that both of them are missing, and he goes down there, and, like, why is he not electrocuted? He stopped
I think he
the
saw the water.
Okay.
Where, like, Brooks... I think saw Richard and went to go run to him and stepped into the water. And if Richard could have, I think he would have said, no, don't.
Did any of you,
did
your parents like very much put the fear in you of like, if you are in the bathtub, like nothing with electricity should be anywhere near you. Like, I think as a child, my mom must've been very afraid of that because like, I like am afraid to have anything near me in the bath. I mean, obviously it can happen, but I think...
You know what's weird is even today, I was like stepped on some water like outside of the tub and I was holding my hairdryer and it wasn't even plugged in and I panicked. Like that's how much it's been ingrained in me.
Yeah.
It's like even if you're holding a like electrical device that's not even plugged in, I'm like electrocution.
Like my phone in the bath sometimes, I'm like, oh no.
If I drop
this. Should I not be doing this?
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, no, my phone will just stop working.
Yeah.
That is like the fear of turning on a car light while your parents are driving, like the interior lights. I remember like, that is illegal. Like, it's not illegal.
They just couldn't see.
Right. They just were like, please stop talking to me, child. The saddest part to me about, because I honestly, the storyline with Brooks, I get what they were trying to do, but it was very depressing to me that none of her friends could think of anything good about her or a story, like anything about her. Honestly, I just wish the only thing that made me really sad was Derek, like finding out about her and having to operate on her. And then when he tells the mom, because I feel like of all the people in that hospital, that was like weirdly like Derek's little person, like his intern that he chose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just really sad when he like realizes that it's her on the gurney or whatever.
Yeah.
And that he has, and also these doctors have had to operate on each other far too many times.
Oh, for sure. I mean, do we, how do we feel about finishing the Brooke storyline and then going back to the Richard storyline?
Perfect. That sounds great.
Do you have any notes on the Brooke storyline?
Or on the friends?
Yeah, I like Brooks. Mm-hmm. I think it was a shame she didn't get more time. I like that she said to her relationship with Derek when she told Shane that they have a code that's more serious than 911. It's 912.
Mm-hmm.
It's so mm-hmm. cute. I liked her. And I think, yeah, I agree with the interns. It was sad that they didn't have any stories about her. It just kind of made the intern group a bit unlikable.
Yeah.
You know, like I know that we're trying to get them together by the end of these two episodes. But yeah, I just don't really feel connected to them.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I do think it's interesting that they tried to like make you as the viewer like them more by the end. I mean, I do like Stephanie's speech at the end to the other interns, like, we're going out there. Like, if Ross is going, we're all going. Like, I really like Stephanie. So
I do like Stephanie a lot. But the other ones,
I don't really care. And like, Ross is clearly going through some shit. I mean, he runs away. Mm-hmm. He's not speaking. And we know why, but no one else does. I can't really stand Murphy. Like, I do think it was funny the part, though, that she does say, like when Joe's like, she's kind of talking shit about her as a roommate. And Joe's like, then why are you all red and puffy eyed? She's like, she wasn't my soulmate, but like, I didn't hate her, you know, like we live together, we're roommates, but I don't know. Yeah.
I think that I like them all on their own, but I'm not quite believing, maybe this is the first moment that they're like as a unit, but like, to me, the original interns felt so like they are one, and they were that way until slowly they were picked off one by one. But these ones, like, I liked Shane's, there's things about Shane that I really enjoy when he's by himself. There are things about like I love Stephanie, but like, and Joe even like love her, but it just felt like all together, they did not mesh, what this whole storyline is trying to show, that like they weren't best friends, but that she was still one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what happens to them as a bunch, really. Yeah. I guess they get handpicked off eventually as well.
I believe so. Yeah. I think each of them, besides Joe, I mean, clearly Joe's still on the show, but,
Stephanie stays until a few seasons ago when she decides it's just too like much. And after
Leah leave and come back again?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, and then I don't know what happened to her after
Shane
that.
Shane goes with Christina.
He goes with Christina. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yep. So,
I like that for him.
Yeah.
Me too.
I do think it's funny, too, that we find out that Murphy got into the program with Mark Sloan's help.
Yes. That was my favorite part about this whole, like, them is, like, finding out all their weird quirks. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was, like, I love the reference to Mark Sloan. I feel like Murphy's, like, if Murphy's mom looks anything like her, that's very, like, up Mark Sloan's alley, you know, of, like, so that was funny. And I loved Stephanie doing the cheerleading.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate the mother walked in as she was like doing that.
Right. I did like too, that they all like were drinking together. That reminded me of like the original interns, like let's all drink together.
Right.
I do want to talk about Stephanie and Avery, like the response, but I feel like we should talk about that not in the Brooke storyline.
Yeah, let's talk about with April.
Did you have anything else about the Brooke storyline?
No, not really. Just, you know, rest in peace.
That was a good sentiment. I just had one little thing is that I thought it was interesting Mare talking about like the George story with the Jell-O cups and then how they like just use that made up story to like make the mom feel better. And I thought it was really sweet how Brooks's mom hugged Shane.
Yeah.
Like she just like, I feel like that was a very like motherly instinct. Like you're not doing well.
But for the reason, she was like, you must have been close. But really, he's freaking out.
Because of guilt.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, this stuff, which we'll talk about with the firefighters when we talk about that storyline a little bit. But with Shane, like, running off, I was like, this is them, like, trying to do Station 19.
Literally, I thought the same
thing. Before Station 19 exists. But that's all I have. I just feel like she should have gotten a better send-off, honestly. Like, if you're going to kill a character, there needs to be... The emotional moment was there, I guess, but it didn't feel as powerful as others.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I wonder too if it's because we're not super connected to these interns.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I watched a preview for Napoleon Dynamite the other day because we were going to think about watching it, and I felt like watching the trailer. And I was watching the girl, like the girlfriend, and I was like, why does she look so familiar? It's fucking Brooks.
Yeah.
She's the girl in Napoleon Dynamite. So that was... I had to Google it. Like, how could I not? I had just watched these episodes.
Because I think she looks completely different and kind of plays, well, maybe a similar character.
She plays a very similar character, kind of awkward and like,
yeah.
You can drink whole milk if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Rest in peace, Heather Brooks. You will be missed.
Will she?
She'll be missed by Tash.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Think of her every now and again.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay.
That's perfect. Let's keep talking about Richard.
Yeah.
So they come in at the same time and I feel like everyone splits and like decides who they're going to, if they're going to work with Brooks or if they're going to work with Weber. And I thought it was kind of, while all the interns are watching Brooks, you see Karev try to be like, all right, guys, we're still doctors. We got to like hold it together. But he is looking at Richard and you can tell that he's like, oh shit. Like that's my mentor.
Yeah.
So that was sad.
Yeah. So Bailey and Christina immediately start working on Weber. And Christina has to, well, I was super confused too about what the fuck was going on. Why they're, this is like kind of a different storyline, but like why the doctors were writing vitals on people. And then I was like, oh, the power's out.
Right.
I forgot about that. So Christina is having to put a balloon pump in without fluoride or something. Is that makes sense?
I don't know. Not fluoride.
Flora?
Something about, I don't know. I think it'd be.
Someone let us know.
Some visual of some sort.
And Christina says, like, it's too quiet in here. Mm-hmm. And she's like, someone talk. And the way Bailey's talking, just like, you are Christina Yang. And I always told everyone that you are great and you are not going to, like, rupture the aorta.
Christina Yang is good. Christina Yang would not rupture an aorta.
Yeah.
Which also feels like a lot of pressure.
I know, John, I was watching this with John and he was like, why is she saying that? It's like, I think it's, honestly, I think it was helpful to Christina.
Yeah, I think for Christina, that's what she needs.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I wrote, Christina Yang is a fucking queen. And then it's almost like Bailey is shocked. She's like, oh my God, holy shit, you did it.
Right.
And she gives Christina Yang a hug and she says, hug me back, Christina Yang. I know you're not a hugger, but right now I need you to hug me back. And then Christina puts her arms around Bailey.
Yeah, I love that scene. I feel like all of last season, we were really seeing the main group become real doctors. And this was like a nice way to see Bailey treating Christina as an equal and as someone who's really talented. It was a really nice, and I think the comparison with the interns to show how much the main crew have grown up now, really, where we are.
Yeah, it's nice to see. I think that's a great point. Yeah,
it's also fun having a character like Christina who is equally as talented as she is confident. So her confidence isn't like
arrogant.
It's so like encouraging to see that. And I think it's when I won. I have so many. Yeah. We're going to do a Christina episode because this is her last season at some point.
And I think ever since she came back from
Minnesota,
when she went to the full place. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
Dr.
been
Thomas.
The best doctor. Yeah. He made her the best doctor she could be now. And this is her now at our peak.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I totally agree. Oops, sorry.
Bree's breaking off the tops of her.
I didn't mean to do that.
Her hard seltzer. Okay, so I didn't know if this was supposed to be comical, but I found it comical. But they didn't know what his they're looking for his personnel file.
His healthcare director.
Yeah, and they have to go down in like an old file room, which that just got me because I feel like I guess it's because this computer system is down.
Right.
But I like to think of it as like he's been there so long that his is like a hard copy and that it smells like spiders and dead people. And then Bailey's like dead people killed by spiders. And we find out Meredith is next of kin. And he made this decision after Adele died and he did it without asking Meredith.
Right. That would be pretty shocking to find out, like, if you were in a situation where you had, like, needed a medical power of attorney and they're like, Brie, you're that, and you never told me I was going to be that. I'd be like, what the fuck, Abby? We haven't even had this conversation about what you want done, you know? So anyway, the reason they have to find this out is because Christina and Bailey disagree on the treatment. Mm-hmm. Christina thinks his heart needs to rest, and Bailey wants to go in because his lactate is rising and she thinks there's necrotic tissue and wants to do surgery on his abdomen.
And oh, you sounded like a doctor there.
Thank you so much. I am. So Bailey, I thought this was crazy power thing where Bailey is like, I am your attending, you are a fellow, and I say what I say goes. And Christina shoots back with, I own the hospital, you work for me, which I feel like Christina hasn't really used that card before. So clearly she truly believes that Bailey should not do the surgery.
Tash, did you have like a strong feeling? Like are you more of like a Christina where she wanted to like be more, none of us are doctors, so we don't know anything medical, but like, did you find yourself leaning towards one decision or the other?
I wrote down, both have good points. So
input. That's perfect.
I like that note.
I kind of like how Meredith made the choice. Like she was like, I can't make this, like, I'm going to make this choice based on science. If it's over a 6 or whatever it was, then we do the surgery. If not, then we don't. Cause I feel like you can't choose. They almost should have presented it to her without saying which doctor like was feeling which way, you know, like here's the two options.
Well, I don't think you could have because Christina is a heart doctor, a cardiologist.
Oh, yeah, good call.
My favorite thing is like how Meredith is talking about how she just had this baby and she was thinking about her mother and she wishes her mom could be there and wondered what she would be like as a grandmother. And her response of being like, she'd be a terrible grandmother because she was a terrible mother. So that means my hormones are crazy right now. So I can't be trusted to make a decision. So we're gonna run the labs again. I think was like brilliant writing.
Yeah. I thought she was going to say, because my mother should be making this decision. Like, but then she went a very different realm. Yeah. She did literally just have a baby. So Meredith ends up Bailey moves forward with the surgery.
Because the lactate is at a 9.
Right. I keep hearing lactate, like as in what I take when I need to eat cheese, like the pit, like it has something to do with like lactose.
I don't think it does.
Also, it was weird this might get a little weird, but when Bailey's like, she lifts up the blanket or whatever over him and looks towards like where in between his legs and is like, the girth is getting larger. She says so. And I think she's talking about his abdomen like getting bigger, but I was just like, what? What's happening? Like, I know they're done. She uses the word girth.
I did not hear that.
Who uses that word when you're talking about anything other than that?
I mean, maybe it's getting larger.
I don't know. It was weird. So now I need to look up what all that means.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out too, in the first episode before we keep going with Catherine arriving, is Callie is in the room holding baby Bailey with Meredith. And she references the time that Weber found her living in the basement and that this kind of ties into the Callie Arizona thing, but that how embarrassed she was because like he was the chief and everything. And she does say like, I don't dance in my underwear anymore. But I just liked, there was a few callbacks in these episodes, like talking about George and then talking about like
Sloan.
Oh yeah, Sloan. Yeah, I love when they do that. Like, give me more of that.
Yeah, because we're junkies for nostalgia.
We are. That's a good tagline.
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to talk about Catherine entering the
picture? Tasha, I'm going to let you take it.
Oh, God. Catherine. I just wrote down, she is a lot. Oh, my God.
She is.
She is. I like Catherine, but she's a lot, especially this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's emotional. Also, she looks amazing. She's always got these like very elaborate outfits on.
And what was that little pull-up skirt thing on?
Yeah, and there was like it had drapings, her outfit. Yeah. And she had I'm always here for her style.
Yeah, her style is incredible.
Yeah, but yeah, she Meredith says, sticking me with his end of life care, doesn't ask, doesn't care. That's real love. I just thought that was funny. But yeah, Catherine is here and she doesn't believe Bailey should be doing the operation, and she is pissed.
Yeah, and so she even arrives up in the gallery and arrives right when he kind of starts like coding on the table and is just screaming in the intercom like, close him up, close him up, close him up.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Close him up.
Yeah.
You know.
And out of hand.
And then she ends up talking to Owen a little later on, and she's like, I want his charts immediately, which like, is she allowed to have them?
Right. It's hard because I feel like she walks all over Owen. Like, Owen doesn't stand up to her at all.
Kind of can. It's her hospital.
Oh, I forget she owns it. Okay, yeah. So I guess she does get to see the charts then. Yeah. It's just an interesting conflict of interest because she's also dating him.
Right.
So I feel like her emotions, I feel like Jackson's kind of the only one that can get through to her because he can talk to her like as a family member and not also just a doctor. I really loved when he does. And he says to her, like, marching through this hospital, telling everyone they are incompetent is not going to fix this. Mm-hmm. And then he just like, he's like, we are here for you. And he hugs her and she like kind of has like a moment of breakdown.
Yeah.
Doesn't last long.
No.
But
I do like too that. So that they pull Richard out of surgery. He's still not doing well. And she wants to move him to a different hospital, which I think is kind of funny too, because she owns this hospital. but she wants a, you know, a different opinion. And Meredith
says no.
No. Do you have what she says?
I don't think so. I just know that she and Bailey get together when they talk about like what they should do for him. And she lets her do the exploratory laparotomy, but I don't have the exact line she says to Catherine.
And I think it's kind of, is it at the very end that she's like telling Catherine, like, we're very grateful that you're the girlfriend, but like, I am not. Yeah.
She says, you've said what you think and you've said it again. He picked you to be his girlfriend, but he picked me to be his family. I'm family.
And I want to point out that right as she says that, he opens his eyes and he says, guys, hold on. He says, I was wrong. I was wrong about a lot of things, but I was right about one thing. I was right about this. And he was right about choosing.
Yeah, I love that this storyline. I love the ending.
Yeah,
Meredith and Richard have such an interesting relationship, really. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a lot of, like Meredith said at one point in the episode, that he has a lot of guilt about how he treated Meredith when she was little. But he does hold her in such high regard. And I think this was the episode where she accepted that love and decided, because Meredith loves picking up strays.
Right.
And she kind of decides to like be part of Richard's family in this episode at the end, which is nice.
Yeah. She even in the beginning, like she's like, he's not my family. Like what? And then it comes at the end, she's literally screaming, I'm family. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see her like come around to that. I also just love that they do have a complicated relationship. Like it's not cut and dry and it does like in and out a little bit, but even like, I think to like the most current season, which I doubt you haven't seen full episodes, but in the courtroom, like Chief puts everything on the line to stand up for Meredith. Mm-hmm. And like he loses family. I mean, Catherine and him have problems. Like there's a lot that happens because of that. So it's nice to see them put each other first in this moment and have it pay off. Also, it's nice to know that like a few episodes ago, Bailey wasn't operating and now she's like trusting her instincts again.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you guys. Yeah. She really recovered from that pretty fast.
I do think that the storyline shows back up again because I know she ends up having to get help. And I do have a note in here in the very beginning. They make a point of showing her using hand sanitizer.
I think
the storyline comes up again. I think she's still doing surgery, but I think the OCD thing comes up.
Yeah. She's getting ready for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Just a few years early.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any other notes about that particular storyline.
I don't either.
No, me neither.
Can I make a point to end with Christina and Owen?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one do we want? Do you want to talk about Callie, Joe, and Karev, or the April, Avery, Stephanie, Matthew love? You pick, Tash.
Let's talk about Callie, because there's a lot of drama with that.
There is.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning.
The first scene. Yeah. She's the woman Arizona slept with last night.
Yeah. Boom. Like at first I was just really sad for her because she like is so sad in the corner of that room when they're all holding baby Bailey, but then she just drops that bomb, which I love.
What I love about that scene is all of the other doctors are like not phased. I feel like, because this shit happens all the time in the hospital.
They're just
like,
another day.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Like, they all kind of stay out of it. Like they're just like, okay. Like I can't, moving on.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I feel like not much happens in the first episode between the two of them. Other than that, any interaction
is
is bad. Is this when is this when Arizona has to operate with Callie, or is that in the second one? She needs a general surgeon.
This is in this episode. Yeah.
Okay, so that's like they interact in surgery, not pleasantly. And there's like the guy whose hip is all messed up, and they have to both like pull the thing. And like, I was just like, oh God, they're going to break this man in half because they're both pulling.
Yeah, I do think it's important to point out in the first episode, and you had already mentioned it, but Callie talks about Richard walking in on her dancing in her underwear. And then she reflects for a second and she goes, I don't dance in my underwear anymore. And I think this is the start of Callie realizing she is very sad. And yes. And I just felt really bad for her. Like, you know, that those moments that like kind of hit you and you're like, fuck, I don't do that anymore. Or like, this used to bring me joy and it doesn't anymore. And it was just like a, Callie.
Go ahead, Tash. Okay. You were saying, I think last season at some point, what a great place Callie was in. Because she went from dancing in her underwear, but she was kind of a mess. And then she'd gotten to such a wonderful place before the plane crash. Really, she was like the best Callie she's ever been. And it was sad to sort of see her now on the other side of that again.
Yeah, just all the time she brings up like everyone either, which this isn't the second one, but like everyone either cheats on me or like leaves.
She says everyone I love either cheats on me or dies. And then she said George did both.
Right.
And she is drinking all of Derek's wine while doing it.
Yes. There is so much I actually loved about her deciding to go with Sophia to marry Dares. I love how when Derek walks in and she's like sobbing on the couch and Sophia is in Zola's room and whatever. And she's saying all this. She's like, I can move her if you want. And Derek just goes, yeah, okay. Like, he's just like, this is where I'm at now.
Sarah Ramirez has a talent for making scenes like that so funny.
Yes.
She's got something for it.
She sure does. She's chugging Derek's wine. He opens another bottle, which like, I'm different. I think I'd be like, okay, I'll get you a water bottle. Like, but he's like, I'll get you another bottle of wine.
I love that about Derek. Also, I love the fact that she's like, I'm drinking all your wine. And he's like, it's okay. Like, you're fine. And he turns back around and she's chugging it out of the bottle. Like, she didn't even pour it into a glass.
God, I feel like if I was going to drink heavily, wine would be like the worst hangover. Oh, they're all, if you're going to drink that much, I feel like you're screwed either way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's peak Derek as well. Another one of Meredith's strays, and he just accepts it. He's just like, okay, yep, you're here on my couch.
Well, I also love, too, that Callie comes in and Christina's so sweet grabbing Sophia and like, she's like, I got to go do some things or whatever. We're staying in a hotel tonight. And I love that Meredith, she just had a baby. Her life is fucking crazy right now. She's like, tells Derek to go get Zola because Zola's going to think that they forgot about her. And Meredith's initial thought is, we're not going to allow Callie to go stay in a hotel, right? And invites her into her home and probably one of the biggest transitions in their life, I think just is a testament to who Meredith is as a person.
I also think that if it had been the other way around, she would have done the same for Arizona. Like, I think it was merely like whoever was in the room and asked and needed that like saving. Like, it's as much as like they sort of chose sides, but not really. Like, I think that like she would have done that for anyone.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I think it's just Meredith's character. And then on top of it, like, Tash, that you were saying, like, I think it was you about this being like Derek's prime.
Yeah.
Also just shows like how much he understands his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So true. And it's such a testament to Meredith's character. And it always reminds me how much she's not like her mum.
Yeah.
You know, she's nothing like Alice. She has got this like inherent kindness about her.
Yeah.
When Arizona is looking for Sophia, which like leave a note, would have left a note being like, went to a friend's house, we're very safe. Well, even if they cheated, like, you have a kid, like, be a little careful. But anyways, that scene when Meredith ends up telling Arizona where she went, I love how Christina's like, you don't want to do that. Like, you don't want to do that. And the way Christina looks at Meredith when Meredith tells her and Arizona freaks out is just peak Christina as well. There were so many sweet moments when, I mean, it's awful when Arizona does arrive. And she's so sad, like the way she's just so sad. And like,
well, the first time she arrives,
she's mad.
Yeah, and they're yelling,
screaming. And Derek is playing
with Sophia and Zola outside.
Yeah, like, let's go swinging. It's like late at night, it's dark out. But I loved him outside with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she comes a second time, well, also, but before that, sorry, I didn't mean to jump around, but there's that scene when Callie's like, I will have her for two nights, then you will, whatever. And Arizona's like, wait, for how long? Like, Arizona truly doesn't realize that this is like a make or break. Like, I think she thinks that it's a little bump and they can get over it.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how she handles it actually on a rewatch, because she kind of acts like it wasn't a big deal and that it's just something that they'll just get over in a few days. And I think when she sees Sophia's gone, she starts to realize, oh, what have I done?
Mm-hmm. I think too, like earlier in the, before Callie even leaves, and Arizona finds out that she's gone, Arizona's talking to Karev about it in like the supply closet. And she's talking about this metaphor about like popping a bubble or something.
Yeah, the awful metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Karev says, I think you should stick to, I'm sorry, I'm such a slut. And not that I love that line or that, but I think the point is like, you're trying to like, act like this isn't that big of a deal. And it actually like it's infidelity and for it's very, very hard for Callie. And
also it's happened to Callie so many times too. Yeah. Like that is the hard, I think makes it even a double whammy.
Yeah.
Wait, so did Erica Hahn cheat on her or no? She just left.
Erica Hahn just left.
Well, okay.
She left. Yeah.
Okay.
George cheated on her and then died.
And did she sleep with anyone else? I mean, she slept with Mark all the time, but they were just mutually benefiting.
Karev, she slept with Karev, but we never saw it. It was in another episode.
Oh, yeah. And then when she shows up the second time and is crying and just wants 5 minutes, I really appreciated Christina, which is why, again, like, I don't think they choose sides. They're just, like, friends to both. She grabs Sophia and is just, like, 5 minutes. Like,
This
will be fine. And I love how great of an aunt Christina is. Like, she might not want children of her own, but she is so good with everyone else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love her with the kids. She's and did you notice at the start in the first episode, she was taking photos of baby Bailey with her phone behind, I noticed. It's so cute.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah.
It's cute. I also wrote, why is Derek peeling an orange? When the scene like backs away and like Sophie are like, they're having their moment.
I thought that about the orange.
He's just fucking holding this half peeled orange.
I think it's because they were talking about what they were going to have for dinner and they were all really hungry. So I think he was having a snack before
Do you think
dinner.
That was just like method acting? Like he was just what would Derek do? He would peel an orange.
Method
But yeah, that made me laugh. So I don't really have anything on them other than welcome to the sadness of this storyline. It doesn't really get better.
Yeah. I had, I think it's like it's not really about the cheating, although it is, but I think it's like the crux of their storyline this past season. This is what it really ends in. Like I think you said it last podcast that Arizona never really got over what happened to her on the plane and held a lot of resentment. And I think you mentioned as well, which I agree, that Callie has been pushing Arizona to sort of get over it. And I was watching, because I'm rewatching season 9 with my partner. She hasn't seen it. And Callie was saying it's only been a few months to Arizona. And a few months is not very long when you were lost in, you know, the outback with your leg cut off for a week.
Right.
So I think they really rushed through to try and get back to being normal again. But I don't think Arizona will ever be normal again. And I don't think she really is ever the same after this.
That's a really good point.
And I don't know, if, as a couple, can you come back from what happens to them in season 9? I don't think you can. And I don't think they ever did.
Right. I think you have it's like they're trying to get back to normal when they should really be working towards, or Callie, like working on a new normal. Like
what I was going
to
say.
You have to change.
Because I think you're right, Tasha, that there's no, you can't get back to quote normal because your life will never be what it was. There was such an intense trauma.
Right.
Honestly, they should have, and I know like as this season progresses, they end up in couples counseling, but they should have like probably gotten into couples counseling like right after they were trying to like work through this trauma with Arizona and the All of them should be in therapy, honestly. But yeah, it's sad because I know so many of our listeners, like Callie and Arizona, are their favorite couple on the show. And it just feels sad to me that this is like how they go out. Like we're
yeah, and it gets worse, really. Yeah. I mean,
the lawsuit season
really, really vicious. But it's really great acting from both of them.
Yeah.
The way they play the storyline out. Yeah, it's great television, but it's really realistic, like realistic fighting, and it's intense, their storyline.
Yeah. I know, it's like deep sigh thinking, like, oh, what's God. To God?
Anything else on those guys before we move on?
I'm good.
Nope. All good.
Let's lighten it up for a second and talk about Joe and Karev.
Yeah.
It's not much. Brie, you want to start?
Yeah, I just wrote down not the right time. Not the right time, guys.
Right?
I think it was about them trying to have sex. That's all I had on them.
Yeah, I just think it was funny that they were like in the on-call room and then Joe is like, two minutes, like we need this. And I love that thought of like, they just like declared their love for each other. And like, we need this. We're about to have a fucking crazy night in the hospital. But then, Joe, all these things stop her. She starts thinking about like, did you have sex with this person in here and this person? And he's kind of like, maybe. And she's like, it's fine. We need this. And then she is said, now I'm thinking about dead people.
Yeah. When she's like, well, we miss a page. Yeah. Like if someone's dying. And then she
said, so now I'm thinking about dead people. And then they're in the supply closet. And then she's like, did you have sex with my friends in here? And he doesn't really answer. And I was just like, Karev has had sex with so many of her friends in so many places.
Yeah. It's also, they were like the only happy thing that happened at the end of the last, well, I guess Mare ended up having her baby okay afterwards, but like they don't get to have their moment of joy yet. It takes a really long time. A few things with Alex. I really loved the moment when Alex comes into Meredith's room to like try to mm-hmm. tell her all of these things that they need. And she's like, pick up the baby. And he does. And he's like about to hand it to her. He's just like, no, that's for you. Now tell me what you need. Like, be calm. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really like a sweet moment because babies do, like, you can't be erratic when you're holding them.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting when they were talking about healthcare directives and then they were talking about Izzy being his. Originally it was supposed to be. And they were like, oh, that was bad plan. And he said it was all a bad plan. And talking about Izzy. And I was like, I just found that interesting that whole thing was a bad plan. And now they are together. And I know they didn't write that knowing they get together, but reflecting.
Well, yeah. There's also Joe and Karev are talking about, what color are they in my notes? Oh, they're talking about breaking up or something. And Joe's like, if anything, it'll be me that will have dumped you. Like, good luck with your life. And he says, it's going to be ugly. Like they're like jokingly talking about breaking up and agree that it will be Joe that does it when in reality it is not.
It's Karev.
So did you watch that like scene on YouTube, Tash?
No, I don't really watch them.
Or no, I mean the Alex, like,
oh, I did. Yeah. I watched him go back to Izzy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Let's
do you have anything about Joe and Karev or just that thing about not the time?
Oh, I just said that out loud, that Alice goes back to Izzy and my partner's here and she hasn't seen it. And I just spoiled that for her.
Oh, no!
Oh, well.
Oops. Spoiler alert.
She looks very confused. Because
what's her name?
We're only in season 10. Hannah.
Sorry, Hannah.
Just tell her like to not listen to you. It won't forget everything.
Forget it.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay, Brie, you want to start out with mudslide, Lenny, and crown molding?
Yeah. So they can't open the ER, which I think is, but then they have to. They don't have enough supplies. And then I just wrote, oh God, now there's a mudslide. Like it's just compiling.
There's firefighters.
Yeah. And then this guy shows up and I wrote, oh God, that guy's coughing up like ... mud. And it turns out it was mud.
Right.
Then it turns out that Lenny, his colon has been pushed up into his chest and poop came out of the chest tube onto Stephanie.
God.
And then I wrote, sweet Jesus, everyone is dying. And then we find out that, like, all of these patients coming in from the mudslide have all of these, like, all this information and Sharpies on their arms, like allergic to penicillin and like different vitals and stuff. And so someone was at the scene triaging people there with a Sharpie, and one person thinks it's her fiance Brian. And anyway, it turns out being Crown Molding Lady, who is so concerned about her house, and everyone's really irritated because all these people are dying. She just keeps asking about her house. It turns out she's the reason that all of these people are alive, you know, because she was triaging them and she has a crushed hand. And then she ends up talking about rebuilding her home on the side of the mountain.
Freeze emotional. I wanted to point out that I think I've made a connection. I think the Crown Molding Lady speech is actually about the intern. So
yes, it is.
Oh, damn, you already put that together?
Yeah, I wrote that down as well. I said metaphor.
Yeah. So she says, I can't believe I have to build that house again. We're a few houses on the side of a mountain. We take care of each other. And then no one else would have me. I wrote very metaphorical.
Well, because that's what Stephanie ends up saying to them at the end.
Right. Well, I put it together before Stephanie said it.
Yeah.
But I did love that. Like, they are just those weirdos that live on the side of the mountain, which they shouldn't. It's very dangerous.
Well, yeah. And Stephanie's like, well, stop building your house on the side of the mountain, the part that killed me. And she said, no one else will have me. And there's like, no, Crown Molding Lady.
Also, the marriage between Brian and Sasha that happened quickly. Mm-hmm. That'll tie into the like Jackson April storyline a little bit. That was just all very depressing. Like the fact that at first when he said it was flesh eating bacteria, I thought that meant that Brian then, who was covered in mud, going to die. But then it was just her. Like the fact that she's like, cool, I'm going to die. That was intense.
Yeah. Also Lenny died and his wife showing up in the police car.
Yeah. This was a lot.
My voice just quivered.
It was a lot happening in these episodes.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything about it.
No, not really. There was so much happening with these patients.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much just explained the whole storyline. So sorry about that. Should we talk about Avery?
Yes. Remembering that finale ended with April being like,
marry me instead.
Yeah, pretty much. Jackson. So then we see that scene, like it connects right back to that scene. And before Jackson can even say anything again, Stephanie runs in. Mm-hmm. Which, oof, I feel so bad for her.
I know.
Jackson does her a dirty. Like, it's not fair.
Jackson does her a dirty.
He does. Can you imagine? You're sitting next to your significant other at a friend's wedding. He stands up and leaves with the bride.
Oh, my God.
Like, Jake and I are at your wedding. And I say, and then John and I run off together.
Oh my God. Or you and I run off together.
No, yeah, that's what it'll be.
That would be more. That's more likely. God, yeah. So wait, but then all of a sudden I have a note. I was like, wait, Avery is up and working?
Yeah, with a broken shoulder or something.
Yeah. I just thought that was crazy. All hands on deck.
Richard's monologue at the end of the first one also says, is this the life you want to live? Is this the person you want to love? And that's happening when April is watching the woman fire chief, like see her husband, and Jackson is there too. It's like, it's a lot of metaphors.
Yeah. And then Matthew ends up realizing that Jackson is the one that April slept with. And then he's like, I didn't give you a chance to say no. I proposed in front of 100 people.
Which, true.
Fair.
Don't propose to me in a crowd of 200.
And so then April doesn't respond. Mm-hmm. And so Matthew goes away. And then we get to the scene where Jackson calls out April. Who wants to talk about it?
Well, I think because, like I said, we've been rewatching, and mm-hmm. I have a different outlook on Jackson and April so far. We haven't gotten past season 10 than I did when I originally watched it. I love Jackson and April. I know a lot of you guys do, and everyone on the Facebook group.
Yep.
But April is just so awful to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
With her going backwards and forwards and blaming him. And, you know, I just feel like I just have such a different outlook on them now. It just seems like April's so young, almost like when you start dating, when you're really young, you're just effervescent. You're getting pulled in so many different directions. I think because she's had no experience and suddenly there's these two guys here and it's just, she needs to be alone for a while and work out what she wants to do. Yeah, but I know that doesn't that obviously doesn't happen. We know what happens, but yeah, I'm not enjoying them together as much as I did before. They just seem so different, both of them.
I feel like Jackson makes really valid points too.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Like all of his like arguments back to her or whatever, like aren't like, you're not like, come on, Jackson, just say yes. Like he makes so many points. I love when he says,
yeah,
you didn't want me when I was okay. You just want me now because you're in something real and that scares you. I also think like
it's a long time coming, these comments from Jackson.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
And like for April, I mean, like it's one thing to have sex for the first time and the emotions that come with that. But to have sex for the first time with someone that you do love and care about, that makes it even like stronger. So like, I just feel like her, like you just said, like, I feel like Jackson has been in so many more relationships and like has a better like scope of the whole thing. And April has this like one experience.
But also like Jackson has wanted April from the beginning.
Right.
Like
he's been clear about it.
Yeah. And like, yes, they were having sex, but he was the one who was like, I want more out of this. And she's like, oh, I thought we were just fucking,
right.
You know? I do think I definitely feel bad for Jackson. And pretty much at the end, he's just like, I don't care if you marry Matthew or not, but like, I'm not going to be with you. And you're not going to like shove me around anymore.
It's rough then when the scene with her and Matthew.
Yeah. So then she proposes to Matthew in the chapel. And I'm like, but you don't literally a second ago. And like last episode, we were talking about how we couldn't remember how this got resolved. And I'm like, this is not a good result. Like, why are you choosing? Just be alone.
Right. Or say, no, let's take some more time. Like, yeah, it'll be embarrassing because he proposed in a flash mob, which good God. But like, I still can't get over my shock of when that man popped out of the gurney and started singing.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so she proposes and says she's indecisive. She says it's a character flaw of hers and that he needs to, like, get used to it. Which, like, if that's framing for when she literally leaves him at the altar, like, that's not the same as indecisive.
No. Also, I would say I don't feel like April's super indecisive.
No.
Just in regards to this specific thing, but I really don't think you should be indecisive about who you're marrying.
Right.
No, it wasn't the best speech to him. I mean, she says in the speech, I was never the girl who got picked at the dance.
Right.
So she's almost so married. And now I have two men at me, so I am just confused. It's not the most romantic speech to him as to why she wants to marry him.
And then he sweeps her up off her feet and they giggle and kiss. And it's
in just a chapel.
And to think that they end up married.
Yeah.
Everything is backwards.
I can't remember what happens. So they end up married at the end.
Alex and Joe's wedding. Like the wedding goes awry and she'd gotten back together with Matt because Matthew's wife dies. Matthew has a kid. It's a lot. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Anyway, I'm excited for them to run away at the altar together because that's one of my favorite episodes.
Good.
It is pretty good. And her dress flies back and they're laughing.
I just love that. And what's that? Is that this season, they have these slow covers playing in the background of the whole season.
Okay.
Keep your eye out for this season for the music.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have a note in post-op. We're talking about the season as a whole. And it says that it's like all... Is it all 80s?
Yeah, it's like slow covers of old songs. Yeah, it's like
the only song that isn't is the Tegan Sara, the song when Christina leaves.
Yeah. Do they do it specifically for Christina?
Maybe.
Oh.
To make it more impactful.
Yeah, it's a throwback to season one, I think that one, isn't it? The Tegan and Sara song.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing. Christina and Owen. I also want to point out, and I will... This is like a huge thing. So we did know that Sandra Oh was going to leave before the season started. Like the decision had been made. So, and like us as viewers knew as well. So that being said, like, I feel like I'm trying to view everything with Christina as like this is like her wrapping up as a character in like all these ways. Bye. She says to Christina, she says to Meredith right in the beginning that they broke up and she says, it feels different this time, which like it is like, this is the last time.
Yeah. Except one of my notes is, Owen and Christina are making love again.
Oh yeah. I love how too, there's a scene, when he says to her, you're a challenging person. And she just says, I know. There's just a lot of like, understanding, I feel like, of who they are. I'm hoping that we're like over the fights.
Yeah. And then at one point after they have sex, Christina ends up telling him that she doesn't think they can be friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that when she says that just because I'm the one who says it was time doesn't mean?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah. Because that line, I watched a whole thing about Shonda Rhimes talk about it. So it says, just because I'm the one who said it was time doesn't mean this is easy for me. This kind of breakup is really, oh no. Then she says, this is not easy for me. And she cries. That line is a complete reflection of Sandra Oh decided to leave the show, like made the choice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, just because I decided doesn't mean that this is easy. Oh. And so like Shonda, so I guess these seasons, Shonda didn't write all of them, but she wrote every Christina scene. I just think it's so good. Also that she like whispered what she was like, if I'd have known that was our last time having sex, I would have done something else. And then they keep doing something else.
I feel like I hate the way they kiss.
Yeah.
We've talked. It's
why do they look like that?
And like the way they like touch their faces and then like, yes. And like clothes are going everywhere, but like not coming off. They're just flowing, weirdly flowing on their body, on their person. Does that make sense?
I can't figure out like if it was Derek there instead. Is it just Owen? Because Christina is believable.
I think it's Owen. I think Kevin the kid's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so like, like, I don't know. It's
yeah.
Like,
honestly, and so you're from Scotland, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that where he is from, Kevin McKay?
Yeah, he's from Scotland. He is. Yeah.
I think.
Do you know him personally? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We all know each other. So.
I like sometimes think if his voice was his real voice,
yeah.
I would feel differently about him. Something about his American, which it's very believable. Like until I'd heard an interview, I did not know that he was Scottish, but. It's like so intense and growly always that I wonder if that like if he was just because if you ever listen to him in interviews, it's very like light and pleasant. And then just maybe that's part of it.
I think it's the way his jaw sets when he's trying to do an American accent that is like so stiff. And I agree. I think if he had his real accent, he'd be better to be easier to handle. Owen is a lot to handle right now.
I think so too. I would have been here. Why couldn't he have been Scottish?
I don't know.
Well, no one can understand Scottish people usually, so.
We're understanding you just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been in Australia for 11 years, so I have a combo accent.
Gotcha. Hopefully if you were straight from Scotland, we wouldn't be able to understand you right now.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay. Hopefully you can understand our horrible Midwestern.
Midwest! Okay, this kind of breaks my heart at the end, where Christina says that she's going to go to Meredith's and, like, help out. And Owen, like, is kind of like, is there anything that I can do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it wants to like still be there. And she just pauses and she says, good night. And she gets into the elevator and it's like, fuck, dude, they're like breaking up. And the way he looks is kind of sad.
Yeah.
And as much as I can't stand Owen, it's still really sad to see Owen and Christina break up.
Yep. I agree. It does feel nice to have it in like a softer place instead of like a screaming place.
Yeah.
Right now, and I just can't get over how sad that line is. I just will forever think about it.
Yeah.
Just
you guys remember, is this the end of them, this episode? Or do they keep going back and forward this whole season before she leaves?
Well, I know that she sleeps with Ross.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah, so I don't know when that happens.
There's also, like, I think they have a lot of moments, but I don't know about sleeping together. But I mean, when her goodbye, which is like really sad, there's a lot in this special I watched that was about episode 17. I think it's the last time that Owen and her ever speak to each other. So I
do you remember like they have that futurist? They have this like episode where it goes to an alternative reality. Is that episode?
Yes, it's where she like had kids with Owen. Yeah. And
I like that episode.
Yeah. And so I think like, cause her goodbye, they don't get to talk.
She's just in the gallery.
Right. And so I do believe this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
But to be decided, Brie and I haven't watched these ones as many times.
No, because they're so hard to watch.
I know.
Oh, Christina.
Does anyone...
I'm happy they're breaking up, though.
Also, yeah. I need you all to know that Brie has a note in here because she texted me. She says, why does this episode feel so long? Her episode must not have like braked and gone, like been like, oh, do you want to keep watching? She texted me. She's like, the first episode is 2 hours long. We have to watch 3 hours of Grey's. And then
I was very stressed out about it. And then John like did some research. He was like, you're watching the second episode right now. I was like, oh, okay. Good. Cool.
Do you have any random stray notes about
I have some notes on Christine and Owen.
They
were my other ship after Burke and Christina, so I was a big fan of them at one point, but they're just so wrong for each other. Like, I just on the rewatch, I couldn't believe that he married her when he did marry her after the plane crash when she was so vulnerable, and it feels like he only loves her when she's not who she is. He just cannot handle her being the person that she is. And I'm just very, you know, it's sad that they're breaking up, but it's the right thing to do. It's really dragged on.
It almost feels like he needs to be the savior in the relationship.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So like when she's fully her full version of herself, it's like, he can't handle it. Exactly
he
what you're
hates
saying.
It. He really hates it when she's her full self. He absolutely can't handle it. They just like have completely different morals. And like, you know, when you're together with someone, you have to have like a core, your cores have to be the same, the same values.
Yes.
Their cores are so different. They're on different planets. And that's why it's never worked.
Well, and the thing is, I feel like you can be with someone who has different values as long as you value that they value that. Like, but Owen is like, your values are wrong. You know, like you should be valuing this and like family, for instance. She's like, but I don't value that.
Right. I think that what I like now that this is getting to an end of the storyline is that I do appreciate, and again, I'm very influenced by this Shonda Rhimes interview I watched that like she wrote it because it's like what happens when two people who want to be together shouldn't.
Yeah.
And just like they were never meant to be together, but like what happens when that attraction is there. And I actually like now that we're reaching, I was dreading when Owen came in the picture just because I was like,
in the photo.
Cause we have to get through this. But now that we're towards the end, I am kind of thankful for this storyline because it feels like one that isn't normally told. Like, and like a breakup where you don't want to break up is really devastating. And it's really interesting. It's so different than any other couple we've had on this show.
Well, and I also think that's why, like, I don't like Owen, but I feel so much in regards to this relationship. Like, my heart hurts for them, even though I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I think it's because maybe you can relate to being with someone you should have never been with.
Yeah.
And it's very painful.
Right. Yeah. It's good writing.
It's great writing. Also, I also said that Christina doesn't value family, and I didn't mean that. I want to just say, because I think she does value family. I think she doesn't want to have children is what I meant by that. She has a family. She has married friends.
And Owen wants to have children 100%. I mean, geez, look at that weird storyline last episode with that kid.
Yeah,
right. God, Ethan never left.
He was going to adopt him. And now Owen has like 14 kids on the current season. So
also, I think too, we're going to see a little bit of Meredith and Christina diverting. Like, they're still caring for each other. But like, there's an episode where she says something to Mare, like,
they argue.
Well, yeah, they get into a fight and then they come together before she leaves. But like, it's because Meredith's life is taking this turn and Christina's is taking this other one. And I think that's really hard. So,
yeah.
Oh, God.
I think I'm excited to watch this season again and look at it from the perspective of now knowing that we knew that Christina was leaving, like wrapping up Christina's storyline, I think will be interesting to watch it in that way.
Yeah. And I think I remember when it was airing that reading about it and that Sandra Oh had so much say in what happened to her and they really worked it out.
Yes.
And planned it. And that's why it is so great this season. So I'm excited to rewatch as well and see her leave again, even though it's so sad. It's such a great storyline. And she did really leave at the peak. Good on Sandra Oh, you know, it was the perfect time for her to leave in reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina had a great ending and that's that.
Yeah.
That's that.
And that's that.
Exactly.
Do you have any more random notes? Otherwise, we'll go into notes and trivia.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, perfect. Want to alternate?
Sure.
Okay. This episode's title originated from the song Seal Our Fate, originally sung by Gloria Estefan.
Nice. Her. This episode scored 9.27 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on Monday, July 15th, 2013.
This episode and the next one form a two-hour premiere.
Season 10 starts exactly where season 9 left off.
The episode introduces four new series regulars, the highest number of new regulars to be added at a time. Camilla Luddington. Ooh, how do you say that first name?
Gaius?
Charles?
Yeah.
Jerrica Hinton and Tessa Ferrer.
Goof. Weber mentioned that his parents attended his white coat ceremony. However, his mother died when he was a child. It's possible that his father remarried and his stepmother attended instead. Who knows this?
Wonderful. This episode's title originated from the song I Want You With Me, originally sung by Leanne Rimes.
This episode scored 9.27 million viewers.
Christina's line, "This is not easy for me," was hard for Sandra Oh, as it also described how she felt about what was going on in her professional life. Yet still unbeknownst to her colleagues, she already knew at the time that she was going to leave the show.
Her colleagues didn't
know?
Wow,
which was a hard decision for her to make.
Goof. When Matthew figures out Jackson is the one whom April lost her virginity to, he lists Jackson owning the hospital as one of the reasons why she would have fallen for him. However, Jackson did not own the hospital until after April got together with Matthew.
And the other goof is when Derek is talking to Heather's mom in the lobby, and again later in the episode when he's talking to the interns in the lobby, he's wearing the Seattle Grace Mercy West coat. The hospital had already been renamed Graceland Memorial.
How dare he? He just had a child. Give him a break. I would like to know, Tash, if you have someone else to nominate for the Catherine Fox Award. I am not sold on my choice.
Okay. Tash, do you have a Catherine Fox Award nominee?
I'm going to go with Meredith because she just had a major trauma. She had to like narrate her own surgery. And then she just forgets about it. She's like, oh yeah, just another day in the life. And she's sitting in that hospital bed trying to organize everybody, you know, make decisions. And she doesn't even blink. She's a hero.
Yeah, and she makes the right choice with Richard.
Yeah,
yeah, she does.
I originally had Bailey, but I think I'm going to go with Mare because Mare makes the call to let Bailey do the exploratory surgery.
Yeah, I feel good about Meredith. I think that's a really good...
Yeah, good argument.
Yeah.
You must be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Is the baby's first name Derek?
Bailey.
No, remember we looked on... There was...
Because I heard them say, is his name Derek Bailey?
It was on the... notes in trivia last episode that his name
was Derek Bailey Shepherd.
Yeah.
But why does she say we're going to name the child Bailey?
Because it's clearly the middle name.
That's why I was confused. I made a note of that. I thought his name was Bailey, but it's probably because
Bailey's child is not Tuck. It's something, it's George.
Also, it's Derek Bailey Shepherd, not Derek Bailey Gray Shepherd.
Yeah, none of them have Gray in it.
No, but Zola's Gray Shepherd.
Well, maybe Gray's her middle name.
Yeah. What's Gray's, that?
Maybe I'll name my child middle name Gray after Meredith Gray.
Okay, so rate the episode. Tasha, you can go first.
I'm going to go with 7 scalpels.
Nice.
I'm going to say the same. I feel good about that.
So did I.
7, yeah.
I said they're just not, premieres are never as good as finales, but
yeah.
They're
yeah, it
they're
was
decent.
Good. It was just a long night. And
yeah, it was, it really was. And there was a lot, yeah. I feel like a lot going on.
Yes.
It was kind of hard to catch it all.
I wonder if it's only hard when you have to podcast about it.
I think
watch it, it's probably, fun. Yeah.
Could be.
Our favorite part.
Yes.
Bulletin, what do we call it? The boards? Bulletin boards. Where we ask you, I know that you have like to get to work and things, but we ask if there's anything that you've been into, watching, reading, listening to that you feel like sharing with the rest of us.
I just watched, have you guys seen Afterlife on Netflix?
Is that with Ricky Gervais?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I really recommend it. I just finished season 2. You will cry pretty much the whole time from start to finish. yep. So, but if you like to do that, I like a crying show.
Yes.
So I recommend that.
Perfect. Any other podcasts you love besides Binge Mode and The On-Call Room?
I listen to... what's my favorite one? Oh, you know Nicole Byer? She's a comedian and she has a podcast called Best Friends.
Okay.
With her best friend Shashir, and it's so funny. And I love Nicole Byer in general. She has another show podcast as well called Why Won't You Date Me?
That and sounds great.
Yeah, she's single and she discusses why, and it's really funny.
So, Bree, why didn't we just do Best Friends podcast?
That would have been...
Yeah, this would be you guys. Yeah. You should do like another... You should, once this is all over, whenever it ends...
You mean in 25 years?
You should keep doing podcasts, though, without Grey's Anatomy. It just would be the first part.
Much easier.
Yeah. There would be a lot less work. We would literally just hang out and drink and talk.
Right.
With a microphone in front of us.
Well, gosh, those are perfect. And thank you so much for waking up early and for
chatting with us
with your cousins from America.
Yeah, this was wonderful. And it was so great to have a co-host on again. And we would love it. Thank you for being a patron and for supporting us. We really appreciate it. And we would love for you to call Time on Path.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. It is 10:28.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.